You're listening to Alcoholics Alive, where recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous share their experience on how they live AA as a way of life. None of our participants get paid or speak for AA. Here are your hosts, Shank and Wayne. Shank, I think we broke new ground last week with Kevin.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it's good for all the shrapnel haters that get mad at us for scrapping everything.
Well,
I just want to remind everyone that we did keep a shrapnel last week. And the funny thing about it is it's one that many of the, at least the folks on Instagram, they hate it one day at a time. So we kept that. So I just want to go on record to let people know that we don't completely scrap everything. So one day at a time has been kept. So start using it in all of your shares out there. All right. I'm excited to have our guest on today. She is currently in Texas. Courtney, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad that you were able to participate with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Courtney. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 21st, 2013. And I came to AA in 2011, I think it was, after, well, my dad forced me to come. He's a member. And he was like, I don't know what to do with you. Like, you're crazy. So, but I already had plans. So that was in Houston. And then I ended up getting a DUI at University of Alabama.
Nice. Well,
I went back to like show my dad that I was going, and just, I was like so skeptical of it and was in a sorority. Anyway, lost everything, basically got kicked out of the sorority. A lot of stuff happened. And then I ended up coming back again, but I could not stay completely sober. Like, I could not, I was like, I won't drink for a period, but I'm not going to like give up everything. Like, I can't be sober. That's crazy.
Right.
So crashed and burned after 2 years of doing that in DC, trying to be like an elite list only Georgetown bar hopper who was sober. And I would tell all the guys I'm sober and they didn't believe me. So, and then I ended up getting 12 stepped by a guy I met on an online dating site in Georgetown. And he said he's like in AA. And I told him I'm sober. He was like, really? And then, you know, he introduced me to a woman when I was ready. I was like up at night. I would like stay up all night at that point. And then I just texted him at like 5 a.m. and asked him, all right, fine. I'm ready to call this woman, I guess. So yeah. And then I also told my dad too. My dad had cut me off completely and said, don't call me unless you really want to get sober and stop, like, you know, messing around being dry. So yeah, that's kind of how I got here. Long story short.
Now, Courtney, that's a first for me. Somebody that got 12 step by somebody that they met online on a dating site. That guy was carrying the message, wasn't he?
He really was. He wanted nothing to do with me. Nothing. What true gentleman right there.
How about that? That's a good story. Well, thanks for that intro. Shank, what's our topic?
All right. Our topic today is Tradition 10. So I'm going to read the long form. Tradition 10 says, no AA group or member should ever, in such a way as to implicate AA, express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, alcohol reform, or sectarian religion. The Alcoholics Anonymous groups oppose no one. Concerning such matters, they can express no views whatever. And then tradition 10, the short form, says Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Wow. All right, so starting out, I'm going to ask a series of questions and just say yes or no, Courtney, and then we'll come back to any that I think your answer is interesting. Are you ready?
Oh my goodness.
All right. Sure. Do I ever give the impression that there really is an AA opinion on an abuse?
Oh, we're going through all of them.
Oh yeah. Just yes or no.
Not anymore. That's my answer.
That's a good answer.
That's a good answer. Tranquilizers?
Not anymore.
Doctors?
Not anymore.
I'm seeing a theme here, and this is probably the same for me. Psychiatrist?
Not anymore.
Churches?
Nope.
Hospitals?
No.
Jails?
No.
Alcohol?
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. The federal government?
No.
The state government?
No.
Legalizing marijuana?
That's a hard one. Yeah, I'm going to go with yes for that.
Vitamins?
No.
Al-Anon?
No, ish.
Alateen.
No.
All right. So, Jerry, let's do the same thing with you, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss. Do I ever give the impression that there really is an AA opinion on an abuse?
I have, but not anymore.
This is going to be a theme. Tranquilizers?
No.
Jerry liked those tranquilizers back in the day. Doctors?
Not anymore, but maybe sometimes imply it indirectly, probably inappropriately.
Psychiatrists?
Same with the doctors.
Churches?
No.
Hospitals?
No.
Jails?
No.
Alcohol?
I never thought about that question until now, but probably sometimes, yeah, as I think about it.
The federal government.
No, probably.
The state government.
I probably made some comments when COVID first hit. Yeah, but not in general, no.
Legalizing marijuana.
I'm sure I have.
Vitamins.
If steroids are considered vitamins, then yes. If it was kombucha and
oh boy,
crap like that considered vitamins?
Maybe Al-Anon.
No, no.
Alateen.
No.
All right. So I think the first one probably that it was a maybe current-ish would be alcohol, which is something that I also kind of didn't think about either. So is there anything that you want to expand on that, Courtney, as it relates to Tradition 10?
I get a little confused by it just because I guess what I meant was more like you have to have the allergy to be a member, but
yeah.
Sure.
So I don't know why someone would come here without relating to that part.
Yeah.
But I have met people who don't or who didn't really drink, so kind of strange to me, but I haven't really had that encounter in a while. I don't know, because I do think there's like a fine line. Like a lot of people, like I've noticed, want to be like all include, like, well, drug addicts are alcoholics, and I don't believe that. So because I would just go to NA if I don't know, it just doesn't really make sense to me. And then, you know, I have friends who relate to like the spiritual malady and my emotional nature for sure, like my craziness, but they do not like they can have a glass of wine. They don't understand why I can't do that. So I guess that's where I'm coming from with it. And yeah. By the way, kombucha has alcohol in it. I'm
it
just
going to
say, I got buzzed off of that.
I agree with you. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. It's like scary.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
How about you, Jerry?
On which one?
On alcohol. Or any of them leading up to that, well, I guess.
Well, I think it's important to... Now, Shank, you hit us with a little bit of a different format here than what we're used to.
I did.
Yeah. All right. That's good. It's important to, I guess, to say that Alcoholics Anonymous as an entity, or Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole, that we like to say, has no opinion on any of this stuff. I mean, it's one of the things that I guess, at least externally to the public, they've done right. I think internally now the conference has taken some positions on stuff that you could argue is probably an outside controversial issue. But anyway, there have been times throughout the years where I have probably taken positions on some of these, either in a little bit of a group sitting talking to people, or one-on-one. And I mean, I still have some pretty strong opinions about what's sober and what's not. I try hard to not give the impression that we actually have an opinion on that at the home group or out in the parking lot at the home group. But it's tough sometimes.
It is.
I think the harder one, right, for a lot of AA members is the whole kind of psychiatrist, medications. Mm-hmm. Yep. And now a big one is the legalized marijuana, right? Because it's legalized.
Shrooms. I've heard shrooms are a thing.
Courtney, I love shrooms.
Huh? Microdose every day.
Microdose, girl. Yeah. You're not microdosing?
Oh, no. I couldn't hardly handle weed. I'm so paranoid.
Yeah. I was joking. We're not microdosing and we're not taking shrooms.
Yeah.
But it's a good one, though, that there's a lot of that microdosing. And I know guys that are doing ketamine for their depression.
Oh,
and
wow.
I mean, AA really doesn't have an opinion on that. So
I think that sometimes when I'm helping someone, it can get kind of cloudy for me, not so much in the last several years, but when someone explicitly asks my opinion or says, would you do this? And I always make sure to make it clear, like, hey, AA has no opinion on that. I probably say that more than I say most anything. Especially with really new people. Recently, it seems like there have been a lot more women that I'm helping that want to know, well, what is AA's opinion on this? And they don't necessarily say it that way, but wanting to argue with me if they're sober or not, when I've never said, I don't think you're sober.
Yeah.
You know, I said, misusing medication, I think, is a big one. You know, if you're not taking it the way it was prescribed to you, you need to talk to your doctor about that. AA didn't have an opinion.
Yeah.
You just told me about it because you feel a certain kind of way about it. So maybe you should talk to your doctor about that. But I don't know. I don't know anything about medication, truly.
Or maybe you lied about your problem so you could get the prescription.
Well, right. So I think it's like this dicey area for me lately in the last several years, where, you know, on a fourth or a fifth step, things come up and I'm just like, well, I mean, I don't know. Do you need to take Benadryl every night to go to sleep? AA didn't have an opinion on that, but I don't think that's what it says to do on the box of Benadryl.
Right.
Figure that out with God. I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
Courtney, you were going to say something?
This, yeah. So the It's hard for me too, because when I came to AA this time, like in 2013, I don't know if like my friend at the time who she like helped me out finding meetings and stuff, but she asked me like, when's the last time you had a drink? And I said 2 years ago. So I'm going to get a 2 year chip. And then she asked, when's the last time you like took more than one of a prescription? And I was like, today. So she was like, yeah, you need to go get a 24 hour chip. That helped me so much. I really didn't know that that wouldn't, like, I genuinely believed I had 2 years of sobriety, but I was abusing that every day and then taking NyQuil, like drinking it straight from the bottle. So
Nice.
nice.
don't really, I mean, so yeah, like you were saying,
What?
Shake, it's hard because people know that about my, I can't like tell my story without telling that, you know, it's hard. So I obviously have an opinion on it. For me, I cannot take like uppers and stuff like that. It's a slippery slope. But, and I've had people like, you know, I've gone through things where I won't sponsor them, and then I've regretted that later, you know, because I'm like, I don't think that was the right thing to do, but I don't know, you know, I just know that I couldn't stay sober on that kind of stuff. So I didn't know how to like be actually helpful. But
Well, that tees us up nicely for our next question, which is, can I honestly share my own personal experience concerning any of those without giving the impression that I'm stating the quote AA opinion?
Okay.
Courtney just did that.
I've had a lot of practice the past couple years. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I really stepped on a lot of toes doing the opposite of this. So I'm glad that I hopefully can make it. I mean, because it really, yeah, it really isn't. I know friends that totally don't have that experience that I have and think that I sound nuts when I say these things because they're like, what? I never abused that, or I hate NyQuil. But yeah, AA does not have an opinion on it.
One that I think is interesting is where it talks about churches, because I was raised half in an actual cult church and then half in a different church. And people will say, I'm a recovering Catholic, recovering Baptist, recovering whatever, like insert a church or a faith here. And I do think that that gives the impression that if you're an AA member, especially in an open meeting, if you're an AA member, then you can't be a part of those churches, or there's something, some kind of negative connotation attached to it. So I really dislike that.
That's been kind of a thing in AA. I've noticed it last, I'd say 8 to 10 years, where if you go to the majority of like meetings on step two or step three, they talk, s there's so much discussion that's negative about a church or negative about religion. And people are just like just tearing it down and talking about how bad it is, that if you actually had have faith, or if you actually belong to a church and you're in that meeting, you'd be afraid to speak up. And so that's kind of the other end of this, is that, I mean, okay, if you don't believe in a particular religion or church, that's good, you can have your opinion, but leave that out of your discussion.
Yeah. I just think
You
it's
know,
inappropriate.
it's, yeah. I think it's important also to, I mean, I was thinking that you read that, so in our, and when we're sharing in a meeting, to be careful not to sound like we're experts on that stuff. If we just share kind of very politely and quietly from our own experience, it's hard for anyone to argue with that.
Yeah.
And a lot of this happens out in the parking lot before the meeting, though. And it's why, you shouldn't wear, again, this is,
Sports
yes,
jerseys.
This is an opinion, I guess, but you should be careful what kind of attire you wear. I mean, I've seen people getting fights over Duke and Carolina at an AA meeting. I mean, they're just getting a real argument about it.
I
Or,
believe.
wearing political shirts. I mean, Shank, we were at a conference a few weeks ago, and that dude was wearing a political hat, and he was the, and he just stood out like a sore thumb. And nobody talked to him. So there's lots of ways to indirectly, I guess, imply that there's an opinion.
I do also think it just sets me up to be mad at AA about something. I mean, I could always find something to be upset about. So for me personally, if someone were to say something to me that I didn't like, I could probably behave in the meeting. Like, I could probably save face in the meeting and just say, well, that's your opinion, or whatever smart aleck thing I wanted to say. But I would probably be thinking about it later. Like, how dare that person do that? And now I don't fit into the group. Or, I'm sure that I could find a way to make it negative toward me. There was a girl, I think where I probably learned this the most, this was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, but there was a lady that I was sponsoring, and she wanted to get a boob job, and she had all this money in amends that we had just talked about. She had all these things that she needed to do and people she needed to see, and we were setting it up, and she's on fire for AA, but obviously she needs to get a husband, and she's not going to do that unless she, gets the surgery. And the only thing, I was like, hey, you have amends to make. Like, what are you even talking about? And she really took that as like AA is against plastic surgery. And I probably made it sound that way. Honestly, I probably
I've
did.
done that too. I've done that with a nose job. It's
It
fine.
was not my intention, but I just very off the cuff was like, nah, that's crazy. Like, pay your amends. You're going to feel so much better with this weight lifted off of you or whatever. Do it later. And so that probably ruined a future opportunity to be helpful to someone. Now someone else helped her. Like, I can't get someone sober or get them drunk, but I definitely learned in that moment not to make it sound like that was the AA opinion. Okay, our next question is, how can I manifest the spirit of this tradition in my personal life outside of AA and inside of AA? What do you think, Courtney?
Oh, I don't. This question actually confused me when I read it. I don't know. I mean, I guess my sponsor is big on like keep it light. That's like her phrase that she says to me all the time, even before I got on this. She's like, keep it casual. So I try to use that, with like my kids' friends' parents, just like try not to, start debates or fights with people, even though that really is my nature. Like, I want to debate. And she also reminds me, like, we're not on the, we had to quit the debating society. I'm like, what? I really like the debating society. And I'm right. Like, but no. So yeah, it's just caused a lot of pain. So I think I try when I'm like in a good, on a good path to just kind of not bring the controversial issues into like the Thanksgiving dinner, for example. It's tough, but no, you know what? I think I did. No, I hopped on with somebody else. So I was like, I didn't bring it up, but no, I still participated though this year. So I'm just gotta be honest about
Well, if you hopped on what somebody else started, that's fine.
right? It's not my
Yeah,
fault.
doesn't count. That's not your fault. I used to say that my dad taught me two things, but I realized there's actually three. I'm not gonna say the other two.
Whoa.
But he always kind of cautioned me to be careful talking about politics and religion, like at work and with people that you don't know and stuff like that. And I think that I didn't always do that. And I like to debate. I like to antagonize people, even about stuff I don't really believe in, just to screw with them, right? And so Alcoholics Anonymous has kind of taught me to not do that. And I think that that's one of the things about the tradition, is it's what I've been taught is, hey, can I, is my input going to actually help anything? So if there's a debate or a discussion about something, can I actually say something that's going to help it or help somebody? And if not, I stay out of it. And that's different. Normally I would just keep stirring it up, and then when the other folks really get going, I'd step aside at some point, right, and watch them go at it. And the tradition tells us to not do that. So, in my personal life, I really just try to, I stay quiet. Now that aggravates people sometimes too. If you don't have any opinion. And it's funny now, there's a lot of stuff I don't have an opinion on. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you guys can debate and make all that stuff up, but it ain't gonna change anything. So I try to stay out of it. I can tell you inside AA too, that I try hard when I come into a meeting, or if I'm out with people, I try to keep my opinions to myself. I may talk about stuff to a few people that I trust and some friends, but in public and in the group setting, I try to keep that stuff to myself. I think I said this on another episode. Back in 2016, when all that political stuff was heating up, we were at dinner before the group, and there was a member of the group was there, and he made a comment about the current political election. And me and another guy kind of jumped on the conversation, and we started talking about one of the candidates, and we didn't even support that candidate. We were just messing with this guy. And I kind of thought he knew that. Well, he didn't. He took it serious and he left. And he called his sponsor, who I actually sponsor, and told him that we were crazy and lunatics, and he never came back to the group. So I learned you've got to be careful. Even if you're being, trying to be funny or trying to be a little sarcastic with people, some people take that stuff very serious, especially when it's about politics or religion. So I've just learned to be quiet.
There was a during COVID, a Zoom meeting where the lead led on the one of the political figures. And I left. I was so mad. I was so mad. And a couple other, I mean, I was sober in DC, so it's like the epicenter, but so it was really hard to not there in a lot of meetings in the city. That was people were talking about their resentments. And I understand, like, kind of in a general way, if you're going to say, like, kind of like what you said, Shank, like, I grew up half in a cult, half in another religion. You're not saying what it is. Like, with the medicine thing, I don't say what it is, that I abuse. But if you want to know, I'll tell you, like, the name of it, I mean. But I just feel like people were being really, like, detailed. And I was thinking, like, if I had a friend that like worked for that administration or something come to this meeting, she would think that she couldn't be there, like truly. So it really upsets me, this topic. That's why Joyce thought it was so funny that this was the topic.
Well, something else that I've run into, I think, is I take a meeting into the women's prison where I live, and it's a closed security prison, and there's always stuff going on within that facility. And whether or not it's run down or in perfect condition, or they should have other things available. And what I really love, and I think part of how I learned how to apply this to my personal life, is going into that meeting, and if not every week, then almost every week, it's hey, like this is an AA meeting. We're not here to talk about what's going on the grounds. We're not here to talk about your new warden or any of that. Like we're just here to bring an AA meeting. And I think that that's it constantly reminds me because I can get sucked into that stuff. Like I want to know what's going on. I want to know the hot gossip, like what's happening. But it keeps me from getting like really sucked into that. And it's taught me, I work in a client-based business, and similar to what Jerry was saying, I've always been taught like you don't date your clients and you don't talk about religion and you don't talk about politics. And I mean, it made it very difficult in 2020 and for a couple of years where people wanted to ask me very personal questions. Not that I'd had some of these clients for 10 years, but it really taught me how to be able to have an adult conversation with them and just say, hey, if you want me to recommend someone else, you can go see someone else. Here are a list of people that if you want to talk about that, I think they'll talk about it with you, but I'm not going to. And that's not like me, like I want to make sure that I have money in the bank. I want to make sure that everything's going to plan and that I have a prudent reserve and all these other things that AA have taught me to apply to my personal life. So being able to do that was just like I of myself did not was not able to do that. And I was like complaining to a lot of people that I knew personally, like, can you believe these people are asking me this? Like, this is crazy. I can't believe it. But I didn't have to do that in a professional setting, which was incredible because I'd never faced something quite like that. I felt like politics and religion were easy, because they had, been around for so long.
Yeah, I'm even careful on social media. I mean, so this does not mean we don't have opinions on stuff personally. I mean, we all do, and we just shouldn't bring that into our AA work and into our AA group. But I mean, you know, most people know I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I'm careful on social media to not, share too much stuff politically, religiously, or on, legalizing marijuana and microdosing and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that every AA member needs to do that. It's just what I do because I think if you posted too much stuff and it's against the ideas or the views of some other AA members, it changes how they look at you. It shouldn't, but it does. And it might even prevent some people from asking you for help. So I'm careful on social media as well.
Well, it's typically the people that are posting their AA coin and saying, I owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous and my sponsor, Susie, and tagging me. And then the next post is like something political or, whatever. So, anyway, probably a fruitless conversation. Those people are going to do whatever they want to do anyway.
Probably.
But
Yeah.
I think that's
And
a good point to make.
this one ties in good with the third tradition. Mean, the only requirement is desire to stop drinking. And regardless of what you believe or what you don't believe or whatever other problem you have, I mean, we don't help white guys, we don't help females, we don't help Republicans, we don't help black people, we don't help Native Americans, we don't help gay or lesbians, we help alcoholics. Meaning that you can be all those other things. If you're an alcoholic, we're going to help you. And that's how we should look at it. And I mean, it does, we've talked about on a few podcasts, we won't go down that rabbit hole today, but we have gone backwards, I think. In some aspects, with people bringing that stuff into it, just kind of creeps in to meetings and to philosophy and stuff that's going on in Alcoholics Anonymous. So, when COVID hit and everybody went on Zoom, this has got nothing to do with this probably, but you start getting asked to like speak or do the lead on Zoom. And I did several early on, and I kind of bragged about our group still meeting face to face. I mean, I kind of was arrogant about it and rubbed it in some people's faces. And indirectly, but people would call me like after the meeting that I didn't even know. Man, you're killing people. I can't believe y'all are still meeting. You're killing old people and babies, and you're irresponsible. Okay. Well, anyway, outside issue.
Yeah, that's hard because up in DC anyway, some of them had like the proof of vaccine. You had to show it. And I had friends who, for religious reasons, like did not, so they just couldn't go to the meeting. I mean, that's crazy to me.
It is crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. And some groups started tracking people that were coming, and they were doing it for the local health departments, and just, I mean, that's bringing an outside issue
Controversy.
in. Yeah. I mean, so anyway. Shank, should we move on to meeting shrapnel or?
Time for some meeting shrapnel. Jerry
Right, Courtney.
alluded to our first meeting shrapnel earlier in the episode, so maybe some of you all also caught that. Maybe it was just me because I knew what was coming up. Our meeting shrapnel, which is a segment of lore, myth, and sayings frequently heard in AA. Number one is I have
You
a
know what, those.
sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. What, Jerry?
I just realized we kept another shrapnel. Didn't we keep first things first with,
We did.
I'm way off track. We kept that before we kept one day at a time.
Probably.
All right. So if you're out there listening, you're thinking that I've lost my mind, I have. So
Humility in action.
we've kept first things first and one day at a time. So sorry, Shank. Start over or go. What's the first one?
I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. What do you think about that, Courtney?
I don't love it. I think it would make more sense if, maybe it said, I've worked the 12 steps with someone who has worked the 12 steps with someone who's worked the 12 steps.
Okay.
The sponsor title thing, I'm just okay, whatever. But did you do the steps or? Yes, that's
That's a
more
good
of what.
point. That is a good
This is a
point.
very good point.
Thank you.
I've definitely said this.
Oh, me too.
For sure. It's so popular where we live, and I got sober here that I know along the way I heard someone say it and I was like, that sounds really good. And then you hear like 20 other people say it and you're like, that is what is supposed to be said. I remember checking with one of my sponsors and being like, hey, I'm pretty sure that that person is your sponsor. Is that right? Just in case someone were to ask me, well, who is your sponsor sponsor? I could answer.
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
For sure.
I've definitely said it. I don't know this, but I said it a long time ago. And I don't know, maybe I'm somewhat responsible for starting it.
If we have
Because
an
you do.
archivist listening, see if you can find the first dog in recorded history
Oh
who
man,
said, I have a sponsor.
who has a sponsor, and so forth. You've got to
Yes.
add so forth into it. So, oh man, it's so dumb. It's
Well, it's part of that like lineage thing too, right?
Right. Yeah.
it is, yeah. And I think we scrapped that with Otis. It wasn't part of shrapnel, but he brought it up, and we
He
told him
did.
what we thought about it. Yeah, I like Courtney's actual. We got a replacement. Hey, I've worked the 12 steps with somebody else who's worked the 12 steps.
I like that way
That's
better.
it. Ends there, period. Yeah.
Now, have you heard this one? I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and the last time I talked to my sponsor was today at 10 a.m. They'll tell you like the last time they talked to their sponsor.
I am current with that sponsor.
That's got to go. I don't like this one.
You want to keep it or scrap it, Courtney?
Definitely scrap.
Jay Wayne.
I'm scrapping it. Shane?
It's out of here.
All right.
All right. Our next meeting, Shrapnel, is the big meeting in the sky. What do y'all think?
What?
I just think of this podcast whenever I hear that now, because I think you guys mentioned like laughing, and I like automatically laugh when I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm indifferent to it, but it is funny to me.
Courtney, come on.
It kind of makes me think of like when people say, and I don't know why, but when people say that their pet crossed the rainbow bridge, like for some reason, the big meeting in the sky just like reminds me of that too.
Yeah. Well, I heard this a few weeks ago at one of the conferences. They were referring to a guy that passed that everybody respected, and they said, he's in the big meeting in the sky.
He would have hated that.
I know he would have. Yeah, he's in the big meeting in the sky. One day we're all going to go be with him in the big meeting in the sky. I'm like,
I understand what? That people just like to still feel connected to people that are no longer here. I don't possess whatever gene that is. I'm just like, please, if you're ready to go, go be with your creator. Love you so much. Goodbye. So I can understand, but it just sounds so silly.
It is silly. Yeah, you know, old Jimmy Pass, he's in the big meeting in the sky now. And I'm sure he's looking down on us, and he's just grateful that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
The big, hey, so it, Courtney, it would be a good name for a podcast. The big meeting in the sky, or you could do the big meeting in the pod.
That's right.
I love it. I love it.
Do you want to keep it or scrap it?
I mean, I want to keep it just because I think it's funny now.
What about you, Jerry? You want to keep it or scrap it?
No, it's got to go.
All right.
Scrap.
This out of here. Our last meeting, Shrapnel, for today is do a fourth or you'll drink a fifth.
I don't like it. I don't. I've never even heard that. And I won't just drink a fifth, by the way. So I've never just drank a fifth. So I get a little, this one makes me a little edgy.
Mm-hmm.
I understand like what they're driving at, but no.
Well, it's just fear-based sobriety.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand what it's saying. Like, work the steps. You don't ever have to drink again. You can be free from the obsession of alcohol. But like, I heard this one until the last few years.
I think that's right. I may have heard it before, but I'm almost positive the only two people I've heard say it are in our home group. Now I'm sure, and one of them listens. So sorry. I don't know. Maybe it came from a treatment center. It would be awesome if we could figure out the origin of some of these.
Yeah. It's pretty catchy. And you know what? A lot of the meeting shrapnel, if I'm sure I heard a lot of this when I was new, and it just was probably amazing to me. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Sure.
So I could see this being something where I hear it like, oh my gosh, well, I better get to writing tonight, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so silly.
Do a fourth or you'll drink a fifth. Actually, the book says you got to do the fifth step. If you don't do the fifth step, you might return to drinking. So maybe we should change it.
Do a fifth or you may return to drinking. Just doesn't quite have the ring.
Yeah. Do a fifth or you'll drink a 12 pack.
And maybe some NyQuil.
And some NyQuil and some pills.
Yeah.
Tablets.
All right.
You want to keep it or scrap it?
Courtney?
I have no interest in keeping. I don't like this one.
All right. I'm scrapping it. Shank?
It's out of here. It's scrapped.
It's out. Hey, one thing about the outside issues. I think we've covered this before. So the mention of drugs in your talk, like if you're giving a talk, mentioning that you use drugs is not an outside issue. It's just not much different than telling people that you were homeless or that you were in jail or that you drank NyQuil.
Yep.
Just tell the truth.
Yep.
Yeah, or what's the other one that they use? Conference approved substances.
The white powdered alcohol.
Yeah, powder form of alcohol.
How long it took me to figure, I didn't do drugs. So how long it took me to figure that out? I was like, what does that even mean? Did I do that? Right. What are we talking about?
BCs and goodie powders. That's what it is.
My thing was melted when I arrived at AA.
Yeah, just tell the truth.
Right.
As long as there's identification with alcoholism in your talk, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, yeah. So anyway, Courtney, we appreciate you coming on and being with us today.
This was fun.
We appreciate your experience and your insights. Check back in with us next week for Tradition 11. And in the meantime, be free.
Freedom.
Thanks for listening. If you have a comment, suggestion, or just need help, you can email Shank and Wayne at freedom@alcoholicsalive.com. Remember, we're recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous, but we do not speak for Alcoholics Anonymous, nor do we get paid. Join us next week for another great episode.